Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what unusual elements did Yoram Gross use to create the characters in his first Israeli-made animated films? Yoram Gross was born in Krakow, Poland in 1926, and after surviving World War II, emigrated to Israel in 1950, where he began making animated films, some of which won prizes in several countries. In 1968, he relocated to Australia with his family, where he established his own film studio and continued to make experimental films and win awards. His first animated feature film, Dot and the Kangaroo, was based on a best-selling children's book and used a special aerial image technique of drawings over live-action backgrounds. After its success, Gross continued to make animated films for children and came to be known as the Australian Disney. His best-known creation is the Blinky Bill series for television. The character, a koala bear, is based on the Australian children's classic by Dorothy Wall, but his adventures in the TV series follow closely Gross's own experiences in Poland during World War II. Tomasz Magierski is a Polish filmmaker who became fascinated by Gross's life story and work and decided to make a film about it. Blinky and Me follows the artist and his family through his childhood in Nazi-occupied Poland, in Israel, and then in Australia and the creation of the Blinky Bill series. The award-winning documentary features the participation of Gross and his teenage grandchildren, both in Australia and on a journey of discovery to Poland. Live action is combined with animation in a unique, imaginative way, depicting the Holocaust without the horror, which makes the film an excellent vehicle for use in the classroom. Since its release in 2012, it's won numerous awards, been screened in over 20 countries, and shown as part of the United Nations Holocaust Outreach Program. The Spanish-Polish Cultural Association Forum, the Polish Cultural Institute, and Centro Sefarad Israel showed Blinky and Me as one of this year's activities in commemoration of Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. Tomasz Magierski attended the event and later spoke with us about his film and the man who inspired it. Thank you very much for speaking with us, Tomasz. Could you describe the film a little bit for our listeners because they haven't seen it?
The film is a story of Yoram Gross, who was 12 years old when the World War II started. He was a son of Jewish, well-to-do family in Krakow. His father has a store on the big market in Krakow, selling crystals and lamps. And then the war started, and so it is his story, the whole ordeal, which affected this family. Luckily enough for them, they only lost one person during the Holocaust, the one person from the close family. They lost the father.
And then what happened after the war?
What happened to Yoram after the war? Well, he was still a teenager when the war ended in 45, and eventually him, his brother, and his family decided to leave Poland and to start new life in Israel. So they, one by one, they left Poland, and he was the last one to departure in 1950.
Can you tell us about his profession, about what he became?
My interest in him started when I discovered that there's another Gross. I knew his brother, Nathan Gross, who was a writer well established in Poland, frequently visited Kraków. He loved Kraków. I didn't know that he has a brother who is a filmmaker in Australia. So when I read this article about him, I was struck, and I quickly looked at all his films. And since I knew from the article that he's going to go back to Poland, as he did every year, actually, but this time he was going to take all his five grandchildren and his children to go and show them the city he loves, Kraków. I decided that it's a good moment for me to step in with the camera. So I called him and I asked him if he would allow me to go with him. And after not much of the hesitation, he agreed.
How long did it take you to make the film?
I think it took me about a year. There was a low-budget film with no financial backing from any Polish institutions. So the first part we filmed that time during Eastern holidays when he went to Poland. And then I kept editing this, and I kept thinking what else I need, what would be the structure of the film, what the story is. And I slowly was discovering, but it was not until I actually went to Australia to finish the film, to film with his grandchildren and interview Joram even more. And I actually later in the editing room, I discovered what the real story is and what's the association between him and his animated character of Blinky Bill. The fact that Blinky Bill is the alter ego of Joram, really. Blinky Bill tells the story of Joram from the time of the war.
Blinky Bill is a cartoon character that's very popular in Australia on television, is that right?
Blinky Bill is the most popular character in Australia. Every child, every adult knows Blinky Bill. And because everyone grew up on Blinky Bill. And is a little koala bear who doesn't have a father. It's separated from the mother. And it struggles to get back together to his family.
Something that I thought was really interesting about your film is that it is largely narrated by the grandchildren. And Joram talks about the past, and the grandchildren also talk about their grandfather and what he has said about the past, and then it's also interspersed with animation. And it makes the film, even though it's talking about the Holocaust, it makes it easier to digest. I mean, it's the kind of film that you could show young people, whereas you might not want to show them some of the more horrible Holocaust films. And in that sense, I think it could be very didactic, because it's something that people don't turn away from. You know what I mean?
It was a writer for Jewish Weekly, the paper in New York, which actually titled his article, How to Teach Children About Holocaust. And he gave my film as an example of how to do that. I never thought about this before that. But my idea behind it was, since I live in New York, I want to make film about Polish stories to be told in English. So when I learned about Joram taking his grandchildren to Poland, I knew that he will have to explain to them the story in English. Then I later learned that the children also, they already knew the stories because they were told those stories earlier. And what came up in the film, which someone else actually observed, that the stories told by the children have this taste of the abstract story, of the tale, something which is hard to believe. That the children is not necessarily believe in the stories themselves, because they are so outrageous, hard to believe that something like this could happen. And I think add this value to this film, because if you think about those stories and the things which happened to Joram, it's really hard to believe that, you know, humans did it to humans. And this abstract story is told by the children confronted with the Joram eyewitness testimony, it gives you some new dimension to the whole issue of that period, what was going on. And for these children, innocent children born in Australia who had nothing to do with war, never seen the war, never experienced cruelty, to retold the stories they learned from Yoram, and to be confronted by the eyewitness story by Yoram, gives the audience, because this is the story, you know, how the film is perceived by the people, it gives you this different dimension, and you start thinking that it was really something which was so absurd, and it really happened. So it gives you this philosophical dimension to Holocaust, that someone came with this concept which was unthinkable, hard to believe, yet it happened.
When you originally made the film, what audience were you thinking of, or you weren't?
I believe that this story is going to be accessible to all, because of the fact that in one of the interviews, Yoram said that in each of his films, there's a part of his life story. I watched those films, and there was nothing which was cruel, or there was no harming, or there were no guns, there were no violence. Still, they were very emotional films, with a lot of strong feelings of loneliness, or love, or lost. And so I knew then, as a picture goes, there will be nothing there which will stop young people from watching it. And the rest of it is editing, that the how to put this thing together, so you get emotional in the places which are not necessary said on the screen itself. I keep crying every time I see the scene which is an animated fragment of Yoram's film when Blinky is looking for his mother. Because of what you know about the story, then you associate this with the main character of the film, and you kind of become also emotional about that.
What about the other animation that's interspersed in the film? Who did it, and how did you get that idea?
Everything in the film, it's either Yoram's work or my work, inspired by Yoram. So all the films, including the films which are showing or talking about the war, are early films of Yoram or late films of Yoram. Because besides doing the commercial films, like Blinky Bill, or Dot and the Kangaroo, or some others, which are major, you know, he is an Australian Disney. I mean, he's as big as Disney. Blinky Bill is as known as Mickey Mouse. So those films are his work. From time to time, he did this film because of the need to express himself or express some feelings. When his mother died, he did the film dedicated to her. And the only one which is not his film, which is kind of animation, which pretty much we came to think about this the same time together, when there's a scene in the train, when Yoram started to describe how he took the train from Kraków to Warsaw, and who was sitting in the compartment. I mean, I immediately knew that I want to have these children to draw those characters. I'm going to put them in this compartment. And Yoram said, like, oh, you know, we should do this thing, you know, like get these characters in this compartment. I was like, yeah, that's why we're filming it, because I want to do it later in Sydney. Well, that says a lot about our cooperation, because he's a filmmaker. So he looked at this film as well as, you know, as a filmmaker, being the main character as well. But I was in charge. And so that's my idea, and that was my thing, which we incorporated. We did it beautifully with children. And as of the little anecdote, I can say that, you know, when we first met, it was an ideal cooperation for both parties, because Yoram introduced me as a director. You know, I never met those kids before. And we have to do with teenagers. So the spam, you know, of attention is usually short. They not necessarily want to listen to the story of World War II, of personal stories of Holocaust. They have other stories to talk about. And because he introduced me as a director, someone that they would have to have a respect for, they actually got interested in his stories, feeling respect to me, and then this worked perfectly because they got involved listening to his stories and they got involved asking the questions. Some great questions that, you know, the questions were not fed by me or, you know, not improvised by me, but there was their questions. So it was really a great circumstance that I was the one who was with the stick, as he could deliver what I really wanted, and they listened to it.
Something that I thought was very interesting and very original about the film was the way his grandchildren were incorporated, because on the one hand, he was showing them how animation works and teaching them how to do animation, and they contributed with drawings, as you say, like the people who were sitting on the train, but then they also contributed as people by asking questions and interacting with their grandfather and with the whole interest, the whole issue of what happened during World War II. And then on the other hand, there was this contrast between the animation he was teaching them how to do and then when he speaks about in Israel how he began doing films and how he began with animation, and he shows some of the very simple animation that he did when he was first starting. I think that all of this is very, very interesting as almost a second theme of the film.
Yoram started with the simple animations, and that's our one of his best films, because they're just the simplest films involving three matches, involving the piece of newspaper which he created actors from, and they are the work of genius, because he realized that all you need to have is a story, and to be able to tell the story using, doesn't matter what, using matches or using newspapers or using the little silver thing from the candy. There are other films, you know, that we only use a couple of those. And they were incredible films, and they still totally modern today. And I mean, as an example of his being always in the avant-garde of filmmaking, I can give you the example of the fact that there is a movie called Dance with Bashir, which was created maybe 5 years ago or 6 years ago. Can't remember, but the point is that this is the first Israeli animated film, feature-length film, since Joseph the Dreamer, which was done by Yoram in the 60s. No one made animated feature-length film in Israel since Yoram Gross. And the same thing goes with Blinky. I mean, Blinky was it is a commercial project as Dot and Kangaroo, but even Dot, you know, that he was improvising with things which no one did before, like the animation combined with the live action behind it. So you have characters which are cartoons, and they are placed in the live background. Not many people did it before, if maybe no one. But that was Yoram, because he always tried something new. He always was doing something, he always was after something. I really enjoy talking to him 5 times a week after we finished the film about all kind of things. And he was into poetry, he was painting, he was first juror of the competition that we invented for the Polish-speaking young children all around the world. And he died in September last year, and I really missed him. I really missed him because I have no one to talk to who understand me as I understood him.
Where has the film been shown?
Well, the film has been quite good run as of the film, which was never budgeted or produced by the television. It was purchased by the Canal Plus in Poland. It won several festivals. It is a favorite film for the audience of festivals. It won festival in America. It won 2 awards in the festival in Poland. Several festivals in Poland, in fact. Then it was picked to represent the issue of Holocaust in film for UN-organized Holocaust Remembers Week, which happens once a year, usually in January. And so it represented the issue, and then it was shown the same week via UN in 23 countries all around the world with the different kind of subtitles. So it was in Africa, in Asia, and amazingly enough, you know, I kept track of the screenings and what people have to say. And it is such a universal story that anybody, anywhere, could understand and associate with. Because he was such a beautiful man, I said this before, but he was such a charismatic man, I say this time.
How many languages have subtitles been put on it in?
Well, I imagine a lot, but if I think about it, I mean, if there was 23 countries, I know that it has to be at least 10 languages, because I know it was Russian, I know it was Spanish, it was Ukrainian, it was shown in Africa, so Swahili, and some of it that was shown in Kenya, so one of the languages can remember what it was, so Luo or Kikuyu, I don't know, that was, you know, it was subtitles. He always speak his language, Polish and English.
If our listeners are interested in seeing the film, is there a way that they can get hold of it?
Well, this is a few years ago when we started, so you can simply buy the film, you can buy the DVD, you go on the website of mine, actually, and then you can just buy the DVD, but there are screenings from time to time, like this one in Madrid, and there was screening about this year, February, in Poland. And there was another screening in February as well in New York. So those are like periodical things. And it's really directed now to schools and young children, because the schools are very interested. They heard about this film and they want to see it. They want to show it to young children.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, I can talk about Yoram, you know, forever. And we have so many beautiful stories. We travel extensively because of the film, and also because of this film I am working on the next film. Directly the reason, you know, I'm working on the next film is the fact that during the screening in UN in New York, after the film there was a lady who came to me and asked me if I would like to read the diaries of her sister, written in Polish. It was a Polish lady, and of course I said yes. And And those diaries are something which is probably the most precious thing of the literary work unknown in the world today. Automatically want to compare this diary to Anne Frank. And it's unfair to do that, because it's unfair to Anne Frank. Because as a literary thing, it's not even comparable to Anne Frank. Plus it has poems, amazing poems. It is kind of contemporary diary, because there's an adolescent girl who falls in love with the boy, and there's a roller coaster going up and down, so everyone can associate with it today. And then the sad part of the story is, then shortly after she turned 18, she was killed on the street of Przemyśl. And if not these circumstances, then actually I got this diary through this coincidence, but also to the hard work of the niece of the author, who was trying to get this diary to someone whose name coincidentally is Aleksandra Renia, Renata, who was trying to show this diary to the world and meet someone who will help to do that. This piece of literature would be unknown, which is something which terrifies me. Just the thought about the fact that for 74 years, the person like this didn't exist. So if you believe in resurrection or not, this is a resurrection. This is a real resurrection, the proof that there is someone who comes to life after 74 years of silence. And you're going to hear about this, and we're going to probably show something here in Madrid, because we talk about this. And Elżbieta Wodkiewicz, who is one of the organizers of tonight's event, she's involved in that story, because she was a juror in the competition, the poetry competition that we created in the name of that young girl, who is an amazing writer and poet.
So this is your next project, this is what you're working on now?
Basically, this is a project I'm working on from the moment I finished reading the diary.
Okay, so we'll look forward to that when it's finished.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to see how you like it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much as well.
Well, that's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSephirah.com. See you next week.